Our sermon text this morning is our catechetical review, the words of institution. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, it is a happy coincidence this morning that the part of our Christian questions and answers that are our catechetical review happen to be the words of institution and what we believe according to these words. Because this morning it is good to be able to break the fast and to receive the holy meal instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's as the Christian questions and answers remind us, how many gods are there? Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What has Christ done for you that you trust in him? He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Did the Father also die for you? He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me. Well, how do you know this? From the words instituting the sacrament and by his body and blood given me as a pledge in the sacrament. What are the words of institution? Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Well, do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament? Yes, I believe it. What convinces you to believe this? The words of Christ. "Take, eat. This is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood." What should we do then when we eat his body and drink his blood and in this way receive the pledge? We should remember his death and the shedding of his blood as he taught us. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Why should we remember and proclaim his death? First, so that we should believe that no creature can make satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, so that we may learn to be horrified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone and through faith in him be saved. What then motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins? His great love for his Father and for me and other sinners, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5. And finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament? So that I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins and learn from him to love God and my neighbor. You see, we as the body of Christ, we need the sacrament of the altar. We need to receive this meal. And one of the things that the pandemic and all the rules surrounding, and we're very thankful for our appointed and elected leaders, that they are indeed concerned about us and the safety of our populace. And they're doing their best to secure our health and the health of the populace. But still, that doesn't change that one of the things that's, I fear, going on is that these shutdowns and drawbacks are making a lot of us comfortable in missing the things that we should not feel comfortable in missing at all. Now, your pastor can't force you to do anything. These need to be internally driven. Can't force anybody to come to church. That's not how this works. can't force anybody to receive the sacrament of the altar. It doesn't work that way. But one thing that is true is that attendance at worship, coming to church in person, shows evidence of your relationship with your Heavenly Father and with your Savior. That itself is true. It gives that outward evidence of the faith that is in the heart. Now, I'm not saying that anybody is getting a kick out of missing church, or that there's people out there who just flat out don't desire the sacrament of the altar. But what I am saying, and I think we all know this to be true, is that the more we absent themselves from things, the more we can get comfortable in their absence. Luther writes in his large catechism, "It's certainly true, as I have found in my own experience, and everyone will find in his own case, that if a person stays away from the sacrament, day by day he will become more callous and cold, and eventually will spurn it altogether. To avoid this, we must examine our heart and conscience and act like a person who really desires to be right with God. The more we do this, the more our hearts will be warmed and kindled and not grow entirely cold." Well, praise be to God that we, the members of Zion Lutheran Church here in Lincoln, do desire the sacrament of the altar. And we have longed for it to return to our midst. And after such an absence, it will be good once again to hold the body and blood of Christ in our hands and to bring it to our mouths, to be like Simeon of old, who held the baby Jesus in his hands and saw there the consolation of Israel and of all people. It'll be nice to hold that body and blood which is shed for us and given for us for the forgiveness of our sins. It is good to know that all who are physically capable and healthy will in the next few weeks be hard to keep away from church because they desire to come and to receive that very gift which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given for them, namely Himself. After nearly 2 months of fasting for the sacrament of the altar, we look forward again to singing the liturgy of Holy Communion. O Christ, Thou Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Lord, Thou lettest Thou Thy servant depart in peace according to Thy word. For mine eyes have seen Thy salvation, which Thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light in the Gentiles, and the glory of Thy people, Israel. It's not that we just have an emotional attachment to singing the words and to the sacrament of the altar. We go to the sacrament of the altar precisely because of what we receive in the sacrament of the altar. We receive a great treasure here in this sacrament. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. Christ Jesus invited you to come to His table, to His meal, as a fountain of blessing and forgiveness. It is the vehicle which He delivers to you, a sure pledge against sin, against evil, and against death itself. Communion is food for your soul. It's true, of course, that in baptism you are born anew, but you still have your old Adam with you. You are still in the flesh. And let's face it, the devil doesn't leave us alone. And we still battle and fight against the temptations to sin, and we still battle and fight against sin itself. And the truth of the matter is, and the fact is, that we do get tired. Sometimes we're just run out of gas for fighting the good fight. Sometimes, like a tired warrior, we stumble and we fall. The Lord's Supper is then given to you to strengthen you so that you may not weaken in this struggle, this mighty struggle, this spiritual struggle that you individually are engaged in, but rather that you would continually go stronger even as you battle against sin, death, hell, and the devil. You see, the Christian life isn't a static life. It's not a one and done. It's a continual growing life, all the time. It grows and progresses until each of us individually are called to the Lord's side. And while we're growing in faith, there is some serious opposition, because the devil doesn't want you to have faith. He does not want you to spend eternity in heaven. He wants you to reject your God. He wants you to be in hell with Him in His spite and His malice and His hate. This is the battle that you, my friends, are engaged in every single day. And the devil attacks you in force with frontal assaults. And if that doesn't work, well, he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, "Oh, shucks, they're too strong for me." He withdraws, he pulls away, he probes in this side and that side until he finds a weak spot in your Christian armor. He harasses you so that you get worn out and might even become indifferent to godly things. This sacrament is given for just such times when your soul feels sorely oppressed. It is nourishment given you to strengthen you in the battle. This is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. And if the wages of sin is death, then the gift of God is eternal life. So where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is nothing but life and salvation. When did Jesus institute this meal? He was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. What is he telling you? What is he telling you at the words of institution? They were remembering the Exodus from Egypt when the lamb was slaughtered. What did John the Baptist say of Jesus? "Behold, look at that one right there as he walks by the river. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin." What does Jesus say as he takes this Last Supper and he tears the unleavened bread? And he says to them, "This is my body." It's like he's saying, "Just as the lamb was slaughtered, so I will be torn in my flesh. Just as the lamb was given to you to eat in the Passover, so I am giving you myself to eat." And he took the cup. "This cup is my blood. Just as the blood of the lamb was poured out into the bowl, so my blood is poured out for you, the blood of the new covenant." And they consumed the lamb. And they took the blood with the little branches and they put it on the doorposts of the door. And why did they put the blood on the doorposts of the door? You know why they did that. So that when the angel of death came, the angel of death would pass over their houses and not one of them firstborn in their family would be slain. What is Jesus saying to you today? My body to be consumed. My blood to be put on the doorposts of your life. So that when the angel of death comes, he will not find you resting in sin and dwelling in sin. But he will find you righteous in me. And he will pass over you. And you have eternal life. This is what your Lord is saying to you today. This is what your Savior is saying as you hold His body and His blood in your very hands this morning. As you partake of this sacrament, this holy meal that looks like bread and tastes like wine, but is, as the words of Christ say, His body and His blood. For the forgiveness of your sins. With this sacrament, you, my friends, are given all the treasures of heaven. And as Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a glorious thing it is for you who are here today, and all of you who will be following in the weeks to come, to receive the Lord's Supper. And so I invite you here this morning, and those of you who will be coming in the days ahead, examine yourselves. Approach this table in the deepest and the most holy of reverence. Receive the body and the blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And walk from this table with the confidence of everlasting life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.